Hey there, welcome to lie number 61. Today's lie is, you are unlovable. My name is Jessica Hoddle, and I'm your host. You are listening to the What's the Truth podcast with me, Jessica Hoddle. I'm a wife, author, speaker, and coach. I refuse to let you keep believing the lies that are coming at you from every direction. Each week, I'll speak truth, bring encouragement, and inspire you as I uncover the lies you may believe to be true about your life. Each episode is meant to challenge the way you think, to change the way you live. I can still remember the first time I kissed my grandma on the cheek and it feeling really awkward. I was almost 20 years old. I can remember kissing her on the cheek and having these feelings of, okay, that was uncomfortable. This is weird. We haven't done this before, really. Maybe she's kissed me, but I've never really been true to show that affection to her. So even though it felt awkward and uncomfortable, it made me realize just how deep this lie that I'm unlovable really went. It wasn't until years later that I really began to unravel this idea that, wow, I don't really know what affection is like. I didn't really grow up in a household where I love you was said a lot or where I'm sorry was said a lot. I think I was around 30 when I realized I had spent most of my life believing this lie that I was unlovable. When you're not used to affection or what it looks like, and for example, me kissing my grandma on the cheek for the first time and it being uncomfortable, I just began to believe what was wrong with me. And after years of failed relationships, superficial and fleeting friendships, and feeling like I was just too much for so many people, I concluded that maybe there was something wrong with me. Why didn't I have all these friendships? Why did it feel like every single relationship I was in failed? So every pain I felt and experienced, I questioned, you know, was it me? Did I do something wrong again? Therefore, with every experience we have a choice. We can internalize what we are experiencing or objectively look at what is happening around us to be able to process it. And in my earlier years, I often chose the former. I internalized everything that I was experiencing to make it about myself. When somebody hurt me, or when I didn't get the love that I thought I was supposed to have, or people didn't meet my expectations that I had set for them that they didn't even realize, I began to make it about myself. And I said, wow, like, what could I do different? How could I show up better, right? How can I improve who I am? How can I grow so that somebody will love me? And I did this so much in the men that I was dating that, you know, I would change my style of clothes. I would change how I did my makeup. I would change the music that I was listening to. I would set my standards really low so that I could have a relationship. I was a serial boyfriend dater. I was afraid to be alone. I was afraid of what that meant to be alone. The hard part about this journey is that what you don't know until you do know. And all that internalizing was this idea that it was my fault because, again, at a very young age, I thought it was. You know, my parents before divorcing, they would always tell us that my brother and I, that they were just staying together for us and they wanted to wait until we graduated from high school. It was a narrative that we often heard over and over again. And at points, I had just wanted to say, it's okay. You know, it's okay. We will make it work, get the divorce. But when you are young like that, and you have parents that are probably just trying the best that they have with what they know and what they can do, you don't want to look at the people that are supposed to be taking care of you as bad. You don't want to look at them as doing something wrong. So, you know, when we're children, we internalize that and we grow up thinking that something is wrong with us. And what happens is we don't realize that we carry that over into our adulthood, into our friendships, and into the relationships that we do have. So every time something would happen, I would internalize it to mean something about me. With every comment I heard, it was kind of this like chiseling away at who I thought I was. So imagine just that utensil. I don't know what it's called. We'll call it a hammer, even though it's not, but a chisel. Just chiseling at this sculpture, this beautiful sculpture that God created us, right? And here I am chipping away at these pieces that He created me to be because I thought they weren't good enough. God designed us for love, to receive love, and to give love. Love is His nature, and it's who He is. Love is who God is. Scripture says God is love. So if we know God is love, then why do we believe this lie? And it got me thinking, here are a few reasons why maybe I think we believe this lie. Number one, we allow people in this world to dictate who love is, what love is. I think that's a big one. We look at the world standard of love and we go, is this really love? Because if this is love, I don't want to partake in this kind of love. And then we begin to kind of put the arm out and put the Father at the other end to keep Him at a safe distance. But we really have gotten to a point where we allow the world to dictate what love is and who love is. Number two, we compare the love we receive to the Father's love. God's love toward us is not even comparable to the love that we love Him. It's not. Like, His love is beyond anything that we could ever imagine. Our love becomes conditional. It has standards. It's really easy for us to kind of put these wedges in of what we think love is and how we think it should look like. Number three, we experience so much that it becomes hard to decipher what is true or not. And I'm a Hunger Girls fan, so bear with me here, but I love the analogy in Hunger Games Part 2, the last movie. And PETA had come out of trauma and been through a lot of stuff, right? And at the end, before they start going into Panem to take over the city, so to speak, PETA has these times and these moments where the trauma hits him and he starts lashing out. Well, he then asks and says, "I don't know what's true anymore." And then Finnick says to him, "Just ask, just ask." And I loved this analogy because PETA has been through a lot of trauma. He has been through trauma where they were forcing him to believe one way and all these different things. He was being piqued and prodded, and the trauma would come up at various times in their relationship together and throughout the movie. But PETA constantly said, "I don't know what is true or not." And Finnick simply said, "Then ask." That is true for us. When we have been through so much trauma and things come up that continue to kind of poke and prod at those memories or those experiences or those events, we need to be able to go to somebody and ask, is this true or is it not? And that's where God's word comes into play. I could look you in the eyes right now and tell you that you are loved, but you may not believe it. See, if you do not feel love, then bridging the gap from the physical to the spiritual, it really becomes essential and it takes time. I realize that a lot of us can have head knowledge of what love is, but not experience what love is. And I've encountered this with people that have been in the church for many years or people that have never been in a relationship where they have received love without any kind of standard or something that they have to do in order to receive the love. We can say all day long, "I know that God loves me," but until we allow it to penetrate our hearts, it's really hard to believe that this is true, right? I believe that bridging the gap between the physical and the spiritual is really belief. Do we believe God and His word? Do we live by His word in deed and truth, which is from 1 John 3:18? It's not enough to just say that we know God loves us, but do we live? Do we put into motion this idea that He does love us, and how do we live that out? To connect them and build the bridge, it will take faith and patience. See, we carry our beliefs deep within our souls, right? We talk a lot about our soul around here. I believe it is the gateway. It's this idea where all of our mind and our thoughts and our will and our emotions kind of carry, right? What we believe will determine how we see. So if we do not believe that we are loved, we will live as though we are not loved. What we believe about God will dictate how we bridge the gap and see in the physical, therefore how we view our spiritual affects our physical. It really is the bridge, and that bridge has that gap with our belief. So when we feel seen, we feel heard, and we feel heard, we feel known, and when we feel known, we feel loved. So love requires feeling safe to experience all of those things. I want to say that one more time. We feel seen, we feel heard, and we feel heard, we feel known, and we feel known, we feel loved. So love requires feeling safe to experience all of those things. And when we feel safe, that means that we can then invite and welcome love in. To feel safe, we need to see and experience consistency in somebody's character over time. That was a really big thing for me, especially in the people that I dated. Their character was never really the same. It was up and it was down. I've dated alcoholics. I've dated people that, you know, would drink all the time or that did drugs. And I was often the caregiver in that relationship because I watched people in my life do the same in those relationships. The woman kind of took care of the man, or the relationship was really skewed. So I had no real foundation of what a relationship was. But the key point was I never felt safe. I was always in protection mode and I was always trying to take care of myself. Therefore, I never really had consistency in somebody's character to be able to trust them. And that's why God becomes a safe place to us, for us to land, because he's constant and he never changes. So we can trust him because he always comes through on his word. So here are a few things that can really get you started in the direction, in the move of love. Ask for help. Seek a counselor or therapist. Talk to a trusted friend and learn more about God. When we learn about God, we learn about ourselves. We cannot go to the Bible to learn about ourselves because then we're going to miss God. It's not about us. Number two, what is blocking the flow of love in your life? Is it a hardened heart? Is it envy? Is it jealousy? Is it greed? Is it pride? Is it unforgiveness? There are a lot of things that can block the flow of love. This is not just about a intimate relationship like I've shared today. It can be all sorts of things that can really blur what love is, and it can stop the flow of love. Number three, what beliefs are you carrying about love? Remember, the gap between the physical and the spiritual is the kind of bridge that we build. So our beliefs are within our souls. Number four, have you shunned love altogether? I was watching an episode recently on a TV show, and somebody had gotten kicked off the show, and she had made a comment that really stuck out to me. She said, I was open and I was vulnerable and I shared my feelings and it didn't help. So now I know I'm never going to do that again. She literally said that she was never going to be vulnerable or to share what she felt because it didn't seem to help her stay on the show any longer. And I thought that was interesting, is that when we hit this vulnerable place and an unmet expectation happens, we kind of shun love altogether. We shut down ourselves, we shut down our emotions, and we kind of become this, I'm a hard rock and nobody can love me and I'm not going to allow anybody to love me and nobody's going to hurt me. But the important thing that we have to understand is that deep in our souls, I know that you want to be loved. I know that you want a love that cares, that understands, that pursues you, that listens to you, that hears you. But the depth of love that we experience can also be the depth of pain that we carry. To say you will never have pain again is to say you will never love. Let me just say that one more time. To say that you will never have pain again is to say that you will never love again. It's to say that you're never going to experience love. It literally shuts off love to say that you're just going to shut down and not care anymore. That lie that you are unlovable, it doesn't come from God. Nothing about that is from God. But there have been stories that you have believed that have told you that you are, which is why I'm asking you and challenging you to move forward in today's episode of what is blocking the flow of love. And I think that people receive love in many different ways. So knowing that not everyone holds the same view of love allows us to have compassion for others. Recognizing that everyone comes from different backgrounds doesn't excuse the behavior of what they believe love is, but still, it reminds us that no one is perfect except God. And so our standard of love is that we get to measure against God towards everybody else. So our standard of love is based on the word, period. People are going to have different views of how they receive love, how they give love, but God's word is always the standard, despite what we feel. Okay, here are some more things I want to share with you to kind of continuing to propel you forward in this. Three things. Number one, give what you wish to receive. If you wish to receive love, give love. What is it that you want to see out in the world? Be that. Number two, how can you express love and show love? And you can do this with words or actions. Both are great together. Like I said earlier, deed and truth. Move your body in the direction that it is loved. Hold your head up. Say kind words to yourself. And these are just some basic things to get you started. This doesn't have to be this huge big picture and, you know, you have to spend hours doing all this research. Things that you can do right now, like saying kind words to yourself or showing love to other people or just beginning to ask yourself what love means to you, can completely begin to change how you live love out. And number three, move in the direction of love for yourself first. Be the one who says, I'll go first, I'll heal, so that you can change the world around you. Because to change the world around us is to change the world in us. If we want more people to live loved, we have to be the ones that go first and live as though we are loved. I wanted to end with a few scriptures. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Isaiah 40:8. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. And that's 2 Timothy 2:13. This is just to show that God's word is constant. He is constant for you. He says that you are lovable. He says that you're worth it. That's why he sent his son to the cross. He already deemed you worthy. He had set into motion from the beginning of time to reconcile you to him. So while you are still sinners, Jesus Christ died for us. He sent his son while we were still sinners. So in our sinful nature, he loved us so much, he wanted us back. If we could receive that revelation of what Jesus did on the cross, it would begin to chip away at this idea that you're not loved because you are. Hold on to this truth today. No matter what anybody says to you or how they treat you, there's a Father in heaven who has a standard of love that looks nothing like this world. He cares, he sees, he knows, and he wants to know all the details about your day. You are loved, my friend. Thank you for listening to this episode of What's the Truth. I know that this lie comes for so many of us. If you're anything like me and you were not shown affection as a child, or you wrestled with that through relationships, even in friendships or other family or, you know, intimate relationships, whatever it is, the reality is that this is real. You do not have to deny it or numb yourself. You can begin to chisel away at the lie and begin to believe you are loved. If this episode encouraged you or inspired you, I thank you so much for just taking a moment to leave a rating, a 5-star review, help others just like you discover the podcast and be encouraged the same. And remember, challenge the way you think to change the way you live.